This is exactly right.
It's me, Roz. Oh my God, I had such a good weekend. I got to have a little bit more Greg and Dana Newkirk in my life because they had their Phenomena Con, which is their digital paranormal conference, and it was so fun. First of all, you guys loved their appearance on the show, as did I. Oh, they're just so cool, and they've created this amazing community. And they do this paranormal conference. It's the third time that they've done it since the pandemic. And unfortunately, if you missed it, you won't be able to see it. It only lived for a very short amount of time. And I was the final speaker. And I mean, I guess you could say I was a speaker. I was trying to channel the most scholarly side of me possible. But I had such a great time and got to meet a lot of wonderful people. Welcome if you're new to the show. I also just recorded another Patreon episode. For the time being, I'm going to do this every single week on Patreon. I'm going to do around 40 minutes a week of me learning about paranormal phenomena. I'm open to different topics that anyone wants to throw at me. I'm learning a lot. I've done 2 full episodes now. No commercials. It's me learning about paranormal stuff and finding the humor in it. And I'm going to cover all different kinds of stuff. So for the time being, I'm going to do it every Thursday, just as these episodes drop. They'll drop on Patreon there, in addition to my videos and bonus clips from each episode, patreon.com/RozDresFelez. Today is a listener episode. And as always, if you want to be on one, just shoot me an email at ghostedbyroz@gmail.com. Put in the subject line listener episode and give me some bullet points about your stories. You don't have to spend way too much time typing everything up. Don't worry about that. Just give me an idea of what we could talk about and then we'll talk about it. We've got a great one today. We've got Damien, who lives in a house with a ghost in it. Heather's got a couple of great stories. Went to a abandoned psychiatric hospital in Korea. Rachel has a house in the family where there's some stuff going on, let me tell ya. And then I talked to Caroline, who shares some stuff on behalf of her mother, who works at a haunted hospital, and it's spooky. So I hope you enjoy. If you want to hear a little bit extra this week on Patreon from this episode, I talked to Damien about going to Savannah, Georgia, where there's ghosts. That's what they say. There's ghosts there and all kinds of cool paranormal stuff. All right. It's time for another listener phone call extravaganza. On with the show. I am joined by Damien in New Jersey. Hello, Damien.
Hello. How are you?
So good. Good. I mean, when you have that name,
yeah.
I mean, do people bring up the omen?
Always, as a kid, always. Yeah. I mean, it was, yeah. And I grew up in the 70s, so it was just always people checking for sixes on my head. And,
oh, no.
But, yeah. But I was actually named after the priest in The Exorcist.
Stop.
True story, yeah.
Whoa. Damien, yeah. That is crazy. I guess I never even put that together, that the priest in The Exorcist. Damien.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Father Karras. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right.
Yes.
Well, Damien, I want to hear some ghost stories. And you sent me a lot.
Okay.
So I don't know. Where do we begin? Where do you want to go?
I had a list, yeah. I guess we should talk about the ghost in the attic that
okay,
we have.
Okay, so you currently have a ghost in your attic.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like he's been here a long time. I guess when my husband and I moved into this house 9 years ago, and our neighbor got married and she had a little reception in the backyard, and our other neighbor was there, an older guy named Guido, and he, you know, we were just chatting and he said, "You guys know about the guy who killed himself in your attic, right?" And we said, "No, we were never told this." You know, not that it really mattered, but you know, it's a,
what's like, how do you work that in as a realtor? Like, yeah. All right, sign here. And right. I'll just so you know, someone killed themselves in your attic. Yeah. Bye.
It wasn't even the previous owners. It was the owners before. So it's cool. We're open to this kind of thing. So anyway, we're like, fine. This is when we had first moved in. And the story is that this young man, it was the early 90s, he got HIV. From where, I don't know. And when he found out, he committed suicide in the attic. This was his family home. He lived here with his parents and I think other siblings. And, you know, he died. He hung himself, I believe, in the staircase going up into the attic. Now, the attic here is my husband's sort of office, you know, his man cave sort of. So he's up there all the time. And he sees this guy all the time.
Really?
Up there. Yeah, all the...
And he sees him like a person, or he sees him like, you know...
Well, the other day I was sitting here, like my home office is right... The staircase lets out right into my home office. And I'm sitting here and I hear him go, "Oh, hell no." Like, and he goes, his name is David. David was hiding behind, you know, those exercise things you hook up into the wall or whatever, you know, like you have a home gym kind of thing where you connect it to your door frame or whatever.
Yeah, like a chin up thing, no? Or whatever.
Yeah, that, oh, right,
sure,
exactly.
I'm always,
we have
doing
that. And it's
yeah,
in the,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so are we. It's like it's sitting in the corner collecting dust and covered in clothes. So he's David, this is hiding behind this thing, sort of peeking out at my husband. I'm convinced he's obsessed with my husband. So yeah, John just sees him all the time, and he's just a presence. Like, oh, by the way, yeah, your podcast is definitely haunted because, and usually I'll listen to a podcast while I'm in the kitchen cooking, and whenever I was listening to your podcast, I would feel this presence in my kitchen behind me. And I would always sort of look over my shoulder. There's nothing there, but I sort of feel something. And then, a later episode, someone had mentioned that your podcast is haunted. Like, it's only when I listen to your podcast am I getting this sort of
I don't
feeling.
Know if I like that or don't. Like, there's a part of me that kind of, I'm like, yeah. I'm kind of honored that the ghosts are into it. But at the same time, I just don't want that to make people be like, "Oh, hell no, I'm not listening to this. I don't want ghosts popping up."
Yeah, I think it's cool. Let's let it be. You know, as long as nothing bad
happens.
So
when that neighbor told you about this guy, did he know from the owners in between you, between the person that killed themselves and there was somebody else lived there, and then you, did have stories or something?
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of at all. Nobody said anything to us. And it's a good energy. It's not, you know, there's nothing bad going on.
Yeah.
It's just like he's here. He's a little obsessed. But, with my husband.
Does he mainly just appear, or just are there other things going on?
Well, that's where I was going with this. So we opened up a store here in Maplewood in New Jersey, and my husband's like always, shout it out. It's called Remerch. It's an awesome store in Maplewood, New Jersey. Thank you. My husband's like, you open a business, he's obsessed with it. He's always there. He's there like through the night, moving stuff around and whatever he's doing. So I'm here at the house and I fall asleep one night and I wake up and there's just a male presence in my bedroom staring at me. And so backstory to a little, just a step aside here for a second, is that, my mom passed away about a few years back, and she had been sending me signs and things. And my husband's cousin is a spiritual healer, and he said, just ask before you go to bed at night, ask her what it is she wants, and she'll tell you in a dream. Mm. And she did. It happened. I woke up in the middle of the night after seeing her in a dream, and she had a message for me on a piece of paper. But that's another story. Anyway, I saw this guy standing in the bedroom. So it's just a shape. It's very nondescript. So I said to him, okay, I'm going back to bed. I don't know what you want, but let me know. So I go to bed and I have this dream. And I go downstairs in the dream and go into my dining room, head towards my kitchen. And there's a shape, a man standing in the kitchen doorframe. And he has no face. It looks sort of like silly putty, you know, like a non-face, like no eyes, just like if someone had sculpted a face out of silly putty, but he had a mouth. And I said to him, okay, what do you want? And he said, is John here? That's my husband's name. Is John here? And I said, he's not here right now. But I was so scared. I picked up a spoon off of the dining room table and I went to stab him. and he just vanished. I woke up at that point. But I'm assuming that was him looking for my husband.
Wow. So he really is interested in your husband.
I really feel like this ghost is obsessed with him.
So basically,
and people do tend to get
came to visit you like in person, yeah. And then you went to bed. You told him, tell me what you want. You go to bed, and he's like, I just wanted to know where your husband is.
No, seriously, what do you want from me? I want your husband.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But and he's always around. And he was standing, you know, like he was standing in that dream in the same place where he's usually standing when I'm listening to your podcast.
No.
Yeah.
So when you listen to my podcast, do you grab a spoon and turn around?
Seriously, right? I keep a spoon at hand. Not the huge knife I'm cutting on you.
But I mean, so you guys coexist. It seems, you know, it doesn't sound like a bad thing.
We're very happy here, all three of us.
It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, it's cute. It's cute.
Well, okay. Tell me more. What about going to the Stanley Hotel?
Oh, yeah. I went in September. I took a trip to Colorado just to get away. And, you know, I figured, let me do some ghost hunting because that's what I like to do every now and then. So I said, let me do the Stanley. I went by myself. I was there. They put me in room 219. Which is not the Stephen King room. The Stephen King room is 217. So I was two doors down. But every time I came out of my room, there was a crowd of people standing there getting the tour. It scared the shit out of me. Anyway, nothing happened. But until the last day, when I'm packing my stuff to leave, and I had a paperback copy of The Shining with me. Just to kind of, you know, read it while I'm there and sort of absorb it and, you know, make the connections to the written word, you know, because it's different from the film. So I read the book, I finished it, and I was packing up to leave, and I was like, what should I do with this book? Let me just leave it here for the next person, sort of as a little, you know, a little nod, you know, like it's The Shining, you're at the Stanley. So there's a chest of drawers. I open the top drawer. I put it in the top drawer. Close the top drawer. I turn around to start filling my suitcase with luggage with clothes, and I turn around and the drawer is wide open.
Wow.
With the book in it. So I figured, I was like, this is just like, it's the drawer's on rollers, so it's just kind of opened because I had opened it, and then semi-closed it. So I sort of closed it a little better. You press it in and then it stays. I turn around, I come back and the drawer's open again.
Whoa.
I do it again. And then I watch the drawer open itself by itself, even though I pressed it closed and it never opened before the 3 days I was there.
Oh my God.
So yeah, a friend had asked me, did anything happen while you were there? I was like, not really. And then I told her about this and she was like, well, that's something.
I mean, is that, so is it the kind of place, I mean, I know I've like looked into this place many times, but I've never been, but is it a kind of place where there's kind of ghosts everywhere. I mean, sure, there's some rooms that they say are more haunted than others, but
yeah,
you know, you're not really safe from ghosts anywhere.
There are other buildings where there are ghosts that this guy died here, but you know, doing this, what, like, and then in the hotel itself, there's the one room, 217, where Stephen King stayed and was inspired by a dream that he had there. Earlier on in the history of the hotel, that room had exploded. I don't know. So a maid died or something, like someone, I don't even know if she died, but there's like that, you could take a ghost tour, which is what I did, and they tell you the stories of like this and this, and you know, it's cute. It was pretty good. It was interesting.
I want to go so bad. I almost went by myself during like kind of slightly after like we were able to go out and do things. But I was like, I'm not gonna go by myself. I'm gonna be too scared. But now I'm kind of inspired.
Oh, it's awesome. It's beautiful. And it's like, it's right outside the Rocky Mountains. So you just, you know, you go tour the Rocky Mountains during the day and you come back to the hotel and take a ghost tour. It's awesome.
I've been ghosted too.
Hello, Heather in Nova Scotia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So good. Oh my God. What have you got for me today?
All right. Well, I'll start with my South Korean story.
Okay.
So this happened about 5 years ago. I was teaching English there. So I was just looking on the internet for stuff to do. And then I came across this abandoned psychiatric hospital. And like the pictures, like it's just terrifying. Like it's straight out of a horror movie. So it's called Gonjeom Psychiatric Hospital. And it was abandoned in like the early 90s. So I was doing a bit of research, and it's pretty popular. Like people would go and walk around, like take photos and all that stuff. So I thought, well, why don't we check it out? So we went one weekend. So I'll just preface it by saying, so there's rumors or folklore that it was closed because, doctors, you know, were experimenting on the patients, and then like some of them were dying mysteriously.
Anytime you look into an old psychiatric hospital, it is so dark.
Yeah. and then there's rumors that the hospital director was clinically insane himself, and he was treating them as prisoners. So there's a lot of backstory, but then at the same time, you do have reports that it was just due to like septic tank issues or like administration errors that like that's why it closed. So it's like you can either go the route where it's like terrifying and like murders and things, or you can kind of go a bit more the mundane like rational thing to be like, oh, it just closed because the building was not in great condition. Anyway, still spooky. So it's about 40 minutes south of Seoul. So it took us about 2 hours to get there, and there was like decent directions online and everything. But the locals in the town really don't like you going. So it's kind of, you know, not really encouraged. So myself and two friends went. So we took the bus, took public transportation. So by the time we got there, it was kind of like 4:30. And this was in February. So like it was, you know, getting dark a bit earlier kind of thing. So we were doing well with the, you know, directions to get there. And then we get to the gate, it's all closed off. Like you're not allowed to go. There's signs everywhere saying like trespassers will be persecuted. Like there's fines and there's, cameras. So I don't know, I guess we just got mixed up with the directions. So we were supposed to go past the gate, and then there was a little bit of like an opening that you could go through. But we were getting a bit worried because like, well, we don't want people to see us. We don't want to get in trouble. So we kind of backtracked, and there's an empty lot. So we're like, okay, well, we'll go up this way. We'll go up the big hill, and then we'll find the hospital through there. So we go up. We ended up kind of getting a bit lost, like through the thick woods, up the hill. And then, I mean, it really is in the middle of nowhere. Like, it's not like this building's around like a bunch of other buildings or stuff like that.
You are anyway, so much more brave than me. I would never in a million years.
But it's one of those things that I'm not like, But if I'm with people, you know what I mean? Sure. Like I'm scared of the dark, but if I'm with other people, I find like I'm a lot more brave because it is fun. Like it's fun to be scared. But yeah, so then like we're in the woods and then all of a sudden it's like a clearing. And then we just see like this abandoned building and like, it hit me. Like I was like, I am currently about to enter like a horror movie. Like I just, the building, it was incredible to see because you're just like, this is the perfect set for us to get murdered or for something terrifying to happen. Like, I just couldn't believe it. It was straight out of a movie. Anyway, I would really recommend anyone to look it up for the photos. Yeah, Gongium Psychiatric Hospital. So we see it and we're like, oh, cool. Like, we finally found it. So we go down. And so one of my friends who was with us, a big, like 6'4", big guy, he was like, I'm totally not going to be scared. Like, I won't be scared at all. Like, we're definitely going in. Like, it's all fine. And I'm kind of like, okay, like, we'll see how we go. So we look inside and we're like looking at it. And all the windows kind of are all broken. Like, it's really, really run down. And so it's pretty easy. So there's like a ground floor. And then there were three levels above it. So we thought, well, we're in a bit of the backside, so we'll just go in through, there was like a door that was broken. So we went through, so we're in the ground level and we're looking around and it's crazy because just like everything, it's like they literally picked up and left one day. Like there's beds, clothing, like artwork, like filing cabinets, telephones. Like it was just really eerie because you're just like, it's just like they just left.
It's crazy
anyway,
to think
so
that
we were
that
in
stuff
there.
Is still there. You know, you would think that people would rummage and steal it all.
Well, yeah, because pretty much it was what, like 25 years later that we were visiting it. Like it's been abandoned for a really long time. And there was like graffiti and stuff. So we were looking around, like it was really cool. And luckily, I mean, the sun was going down a little bit just because it took us so long to actually kind of get there. So it is starting a bit of like that eerie feeling, like, you know, dusk. And so all of a sudden we just hear this like really, really loud bang. And it was right on top of us, like right like in the ceiling above us. And like we all just stopped in our tracks and was like, oh, like, are we not alone kind of thing? Like, is someone else here? And it was loud enough. It honestly just sounded like a bowling ball falling off of like a table. So caught us by surprise. You're like, oh shit. Like, what are we? Okay.
Also, the floors or ceilings or anything. That's so scary to hear something above you.
Well, yeah. Cause we just assumed that we were the only ones there. Like we didn't see anyone else around. And we weren't expecting that. Like, I don't know. So we went out the side, like onto the other side and like my friend's freaking out. Like, I mean, we all were like, we were all just like, what was that? And then you kind of try to rationalize it and you're like, you know, it probably was just like a cat or, you know, I don't know, something just fell. And it's important to know, like, it wasn't windy at all. Like there was zero wind, that day. And so like we're outside. And so my friend was like, you know, is anyone there? Like, hello. And so he says it in Korean as well. Cause we're like, well, if it's like a person or a spirit, like chances are they might not speak English. So as soon as he says it in Korean, like, is anyone there? Literally a door just slams like as hard as it can right beside like the window that we were at. And so like, we just ran to the front of the building. Like I could not believe it. And I mean, it could have been a coincidence, but I just think like the fact that the words had just come out of his mouth and then it was like a door slamming, you know?
Oh, I would be out of there.
And so, yeah, so we were like, okay, like that's odd, like two loud noises kind of thing. So we go to the front of the building. And like my friend, like he is not doing well. Like he is saying like prayers and he's like, we can't go in there. Like the spirits are going to come back with us. Like this is how bad things begin. And so I agree. Like, I don't want to anger any spirits or anything that's there. But at the same time, like we did travel all this way to get there. So I'm like, well, let's just take a minute, reassess and like slowly maybe go in it kind of thing. So finally, after a little bit, and like my friend's like, is anyone there? Like, hello. We didn't hear anything. So I'm like, okay, like, let's go in. So we went into the ground floor again. And again, like this building is massive, like it's huge. So went into the ground part again. And like, we're finally feeling a little bit more like comfortable kind of thing. And then again, like right above us, like we hear another bang. And this was the loudest one that we heard. And it was kind of like two almost, like it was like bang, bang. And again, like you could really know that it was right above us. Like it wasn't just like some distance noise or like the other place. So again, like we just went outside of the building because it was just so creepy because you're just like, what is this? Like, I want to know, but at the same time, I'm petrified and I don't really want to know what this noise is. And so at that point, like my friends, like, I'm not going in this building, like no way. And I mean, I can understand it too. So we were outside and I convinced the other friend, I was like, well, let's just walk up the steps to like the first level, you know, have a peek in it kind of thing.
No, don't do it.
So we were holding on to each other and they kept saying to me like, oh, just go in by yourself, go in by yourself. I'm like, come on. Like, I'm not going to go in this terrifying building that's like considered one of the most haunted places in Korea, like on my own. Like, I need to have someone else with me.
Plus there could be a human up there. That would be way scarier.
I know. And that's the thing. Like, I think there's a few options of what it could have been. And I really think, I mean, it could have been a person or it could have been something paranormal, but I definitely don't think it wasn't an animal or anything. Cause it was just really, really loud. And I think the fact that it all happened like where we were kind of thing, like, yeah, it's just, I don't know. So anyway, so we go up the stairs, and again, like you're looking through the hallway. So all the windows are broken. The door was just, there was no door, so we could easily look through, and it was still light enough that like you would think that light would get through, but it was just total darkness. Like you look down this hallway and it's pitch black. Mm-hmm. It's just so scary. Mm-hmm. And so we were kind of like peeking our heads in and like, it's just the eerie feeling that comes over you. And then we heard just like a scratching noise. It wasn't a scratching. It was like someone had a really long stick and was just like walking like down the hallway, like dragging it.
Oh God.
But it was long enough because there were lots of trees around, but none were close enough. I mean, there weren't any windows anyway. They were all broken. But it wasn't like there was like a tree banging against a window and, you know, you get that noise. And it was just really, really steady. So at that point, we, you know, you kind of peek your head in the bed and stuff. But he was like, no, we can't do this. Like, it was just, we didn't want to be part of a horror movie that day. And so that's where I feel like we kind of chickened out. Like, we didn't, you know, really go through it. But I mean, I guess it was probably the smartest thing to do. I mean, we all survived. But, you know, and at the time, you don't really think like, you know, what is this? Because you kind of just rationalize it in your head or, you know. But looking back now or like really processing it, I'm like, I just don't know what it could have been.
Yeah, it sounds like you've weighed a lot of the options. And I'm here to say that that was indeed ghosts.
And it's weird because like, well, we didn't really actually even like see anything. It was just, you heard it, you know? Until like, I was looking into a few other, you know, stories of, someone else I knew, he went at nighttime. And I mean, I just can't believe that anyone would in their right mind do that. Like at nighttime, it was scary enough during the day, but no, thank you.
No.
And so other people say, that the, you know, they see shadows, like there are, like, there's been a lot of ghost hunters, or, you know, places, people that go and visit it and, you know, do all that stuff. And then a lot of people say, you know, they hear slamming doors, like shadows, you know, stuff dropping, like scratches on doors and things. So like, there's spirits in there. Like, I think you can't dispute it.
Well, next time I'm in the neighborhood, I'll stop by.
Yeah, so there's a horror movie filmed in it, which I haven't watched yet, but I'll have to. And so actually the building since has been demolished. I just found out
no
the other day.
Way.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it because it did gain a lot more popularity. So I think a lot more people were going to see it and everything, but they just thought, no, we'll tear it down.
Damn. Yeah. I'm sure people on the internet just like fell in love with it and taking pictures and Instagram and all that stuff. I follow a lot of like abandoned building accounts on Instagram and it's pretty insane.
Yeah.
Well, I want to hear your other story about your Australian boyfriend.
Yeah. So he's now my husband. So we met in Australia and then we're like, well, let's go home and, you know, you can meet my family and all that fun stuff. So we came home in July. It's a bit of backstory. So my best friend in the world, she is always so paranoid that like she's gonna move into a house or an apartment that like someone's been murdered in or there's like hauntings or anything, like, so she'll always ask the landlord like, has anything funny happened here, anything bad? Like, and I mean, we always kind of tease her about it because it is a funny, like, you feel a bit silly asking the question.
I shamelessly ask that.
But this time she didn't. So it wasn't the landlord, it was like a friend or something that was showing them around. So she didn't really get a chance to ask the question. And of course, like, she calls me, I don't know, like 6 months later after they're living there, so upset. And she's just like, this is the house. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, this is the house. And so there was a murder in the city. And so it was a woman who like had went out that night, out to the bars and then just went home with the guy. And then he like brutally murdered her and it was terrible. It really tore the whole city apart. It was just so heartbreaking. And so they had moved into the apartment where it all took place and they didn't know.
The one time she didn't ask.
Yeah. The one time, like, I just, what are the chances, you know? So she was really upset, but they decided, rent was so cheap that they were going to fill the place with, you know, good energy and make good new memories in that building. Like, even though, you know, something terrible had happened.
Wait, how did she find out?
They found out because one of their friends was watching the news. And then it was like a photo of the crime scene and it was their apartment.
Oh my God.
So he messaged them and was like, just so you know, like, your apartment's on the news.
Their apartment, like, not just the building, like their exact one.
Literally the exact one that
Whoa.
They were living in.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. But I mean, good on them. Like, they decided to stay and, you know, they staged it and everything like that. So we went to visit and I was a little bit creeped out. Like, I was like, she really wanted us to spend the night. Cause she's like, I just really want to see you guys, all that stuff. And I didn't want to be rude. So I was like, yeah, like, we'll stay the night for sure. So we had a little get together. There was like, I don't know, 8 or 9 people. And so it was just like a little house party, like very casual. No one was going out or anything. So we had some people over and we were hanging out in the living room, like where it actually happened, like the murder. And so everyone was like, okay, like a fun night, but we're going to head out. So everyone went to like the front of the house, like where the front door was to leave. And me and my boyfriend, we were on the couch, we were exhausted from the jet lag and everything. So we fell asleep and I was totally like unconscious, didn't hear a thing. But my boyfriend at the time, he was laying there and he was in like that half asleep, half like awake, half conscious state, you know, like where you're drifting off, but you can still kind of hear things or you're a bit aware. Anyway, so then he hears high heels like coming down the hallway and going like right to him, like right through the living room. And it was loud enough, like he woke up because he's like, oh, like someone's here. Like someone came into the room and is walking around. And then like he opens his eyes and like nobody's there at all. Like no one in the kitchen, no one down the hallway. Like everyone was at the front of the house waiting for their Ubers. And so he didn't, luckily, so we slept in a different room. We slept in the like front bedroom. Because I was like, I'm not going to sleep in the room. I just would feel too creeped out. Anyway, so thank goodness he didn't tell me that story until the day after, because I wouldn't have spent the night there. And so then we were like, well, like, no one was wearing high heels, you know, like, it was a casual summer house party, like, everyone was wearing flip-flops or sneakers kind of thing. And we checked the people, like, we were like, you know, are you wearing anything, like, that would make loud noise? And they're like, no, like, not at all. And no one was around.
Was this, like, a hardwood floor or something?
Yeah, yeah. So a hardwood floor. And he's just adamant. Like, he is very skeptic. Like, he doesn't believe really in anything. So it really kind of jolted him to be like, well, what was that? Like, I heard, you know, I heard someone walking. And it was distinctly, like, the loud noise of high heels, you know? And so we, I didn't tell my friends the story because I didn't want to, like, scare them while they were still living there. So, you know, I kept it to myself, and then they were moving out. And so, you know, then once they moved out, I told them. And so it turns out, you know, they had a few odd things, I think, happen. But, you know, like, they kind of brushed it off and were just like, well, we're making good memories. But so she was really upset about leaving because they stayed there for like an extra 2 years. You know, she was getting really nostalgic and sad about leaving their first apartment together. And so they were sitting in the living room, the same one that it happened in. And they were, you know, watching TV. And on the coffee counter, like in the middle of the coffee counter, they had their remote and it was on top of a book. And then, like, and it wasn't close to the edge. And then they just said, they both watched the remote just fall to the ground. And so they were kind of like, oh, like, that was weird. And they were talking about how they were sad and everything about leaving. They, like, she was like, oh, I don't want to leave. Like, it was a mistake. And so they were like, okay. So they picked up the remote, put it back, you know, kept trying to pretend things were normal. Nothing happened. And it happened again. Like, they, and they were not touching it. Like, they said, like, it was a flat surface. Like, it wasn't anything sloped. It wasn't, you know, almost falling off anyway. And it moved and it fell off the like the coffee table again. And so she thinks that it was the, her spirit was trying to kind of like scare her a bit to be like, no, like, you need to leave the
yeah,
house. Like,
exactly.
It's okay. Like, I give you my blessing. Like, go, go on.
That so ghost that's is like, you know what, lady? I spent 2 years hiding in a closet because I didn't want to upset yeah. you. I had to one time sneak out with my gorgeous high heels on just to say hi to a human. And I am sick of hiding. I am ready to live my true yeah. self.
But yeah, so those are my, well, those are my two big stories anyway, that, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you can really kind of be rational or, you know, justified or say, oh, it could have been this, could have been that. But I think there's some things that you just really can't explain.
Yeah. Hello, Rachel in Los Angeles. How are you?
Amazing. How are you?
So good. Okay, my Los Angelino neighbor, you have got some stories. And
yes.
I was reading through your email, and it started from the moment you got here to this earth. This story of when you were a baby, can you share this?
Yes, and I'm really into the paranormal, and I think I realized while writing that email that this is probably why, because when I was born, my mom kind of had a difficult birth, and my shoulder got dislocated, but I came out okay. And when I was born, my grandmother went to go find her father, who was still alive at the time, and unfortunately, when she went to his home, he had passed away. And she had found him passed away, which was crazy because it was the exact same day. Who knows exactly when, but he, they always told me growing up, he like gave me life essentially. And it was just a really crazy story. But what was even weirder was one night, my mom and dad heard me wake up, but I was like making noises, not crying. And both of them were like, huh, that's kind of weird. So they got up and went to my room and saw a full apparition of him standing over my crib, like playing with me. And my dad was not into this stuff. So when my dad told me this, I like just really believed it because it's kind of a crazy story, but my mom always told me it growing up. And it just is, I mean, I never got to meet him. I do need to ask her, like, am I like him? Like, is he, am I him? Like, I don't know.
Right.
It's really, really crazy. Yeah.
Because I had a situation with some people I know where a very, like, pretty much the same thing happened. Grandfather died and then a new baby was born. And they kind of, you know, theorized or whatever in their mind or whatever that he kind of, like, started over in the child.
I mean, maybe. Kind of crazy. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, maybe a psychic or somebody would tell you that.
I know. I've only gone to a psychic once, but I should probably find a legit one and ask that question.
Yeah. No, just have them bring it up. That's what you got to do.
Yes. Think in my head, I want you to bring this up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so you also grew up in a haunted house. So is this the same house where that happened?
No, actually, so when I was really little, my parents lived in like a really bad area. And then my dad is an immigrant and my grandparents were immigrants. And we combined to live together in a nicer area called Yardley, Pennsylvania, which is Pennsylvania, I feel like, is super haunted. it's just so old. And, you know, we lived right near Washington's Crossing and all this Revolutionary War stuff. So we all moved in together, the six of us, and I never really thought of it as haunted. But, you know, multiple things have happened there. And also, like, right before we got on, I was thinking about my grandparents lived downstairs and we lived upstairs, and there was this hallway I had to go through to get to their, where they lived. And I used to always run through it because it creeps me out. So there must be something there, but my mom still lives in that house. And I still visit it. So it is still our family home. So the one thing that happened to me there was when I was a teenager. So since six of us lived in the house, it was so busy all the time. There were so many people there. But when I was a teenager, I remember I got home from school and my brother was still in middle school. So it was just me, weirdly. And my grandparents must have been out. My parents both worked full time. So that wasn't unusual. And I got home and I was getting ready for work, I remember. And I took a shower. And if you live in an old house on the East Coast, you might know this. We had a septic tank. We didn't have public water. And so if someone else turned on the water while you were in the shower, it would go cold. And like instantly it was freezing. So I was in the shower and that happened to me. And I thought, oh, my grandparents are home. Like I did not think anything of it. So I got out of the shower, I go into my room, I close the door. And as I'm getting dressed, there were like three really loud knocks on my door. But I, again, thought it was my grandmother because she was always nosy and stuff. So I was like, I'm getting dressed, Granny. Like I literally like screamed that. And then I heard nothing. And I realized of course, it was like wood creaky floors, like so many noises in this house, right? And I realized I never heard someone walk up or walk away. And I was like, wait, in the middle of getting dressed, I think that hit me. I was like, wait a second. And I opened my door and there's no one. And
you know, your mind, you're like, they're just standing there, just quiet.
In my mind, I was like, wait, I didn't hear the creaking of the floorboard. Like everything creaks in this house.
That is
everything.
So creepy.
Because it's all wood, you know, it's very old. Like, and actually it used to be on farmland where like everything around it was farm and this was like the farmhouse. So, So then I remember I ran to like my front windows, which is where we used to have like six cars in the driveway at once when me and my brother could drive. And there's only my car in the driveway. And I'm like, oh no, holy shit. Like I'm alone. And I even went downstairs to my grandparents and I even went outside and checked if the hose was on. Like I thought maybe the hose accidentally went on. And then I just realized like, okay, that was something. I don't know what that was, but it was something.
Oh.
And then I never experienced anything again, but I don't know if it's because I wrote in my email, my grandmother was really religious, like overly religious. And she played worship music like 24/7. Like, and she lived where her stereo was right below my bedroom. So I could hear it all the time too. Like it would come up through the floorboards and it was just like constant, like chanting, not gospel music. It was like worship music, you know?
So if the music's not on, then the ghosts come out.
I guess. I don't know. But it was very rare for me to ever be alone in that house, like, because it was just so many people.
Right.
And then sadly, my dad did pass away in that home like 5 years ago. And my grandfather also passed away, not in the home, but while we lived there. And since then, so my mom is more of a believer. She was raised Catholic. I wasn't. I was raised more like Christian, Presbyterian, but so she's afraid of like demons. Like she's like afraid of that stuff legitimately. And she believes more and she's had more experiences. And she it would be so embarrassed because she's like, don't tell anyone. No one else will like believe me. So she still lives there and she now lives there completely alone.
But what and she's say? We won't tell anyone.
So she recently had an experience with which coincided with my friend, which I find really interesting. So my best friend from LA had never been to Pennsylvania and we had always planned to do like a trip in October and go to all like the scary things there. Like there's the Pennhurst Asylum and the Eastern State Penitentiary. Yeah. Really big thing. So we did that. We went there for a week and we did all this fun, like spooky stuff. And while we were there, my friend was staying in the downstairs, which is now like a guest suite, which is where my grandparents lived. And she was getting changed and she saw it's at ground level. So through the window, she saw someone walking back and forth. The shades are down, but she can fully see, you know, a person walking back and forth. And it's just like me. She thought, oh, Donna, my mom is just down in the backyard. Like she just didn't even think about it. Right. And as she finished getting dressed, I think my mom or me yelled down to her and said like, oh, we're making tea. Do you want any? And she realized like we weren't in the backyard. So she, by the way, didn't tell me this until after we left. Cause I guess she didn't want to freak us out.
And but there couldn't have been anybody else back
no,
there?
No, because it's a massive backyard. And when you're in where we live, you look down on it. Like our house is built on a hill. Oh, and it looks like a ranch from the front, but in the back is a huge pool, like massive, totally open space. And I think she even asked like, oh, we're gardeners here. And my mom was like, no, like no one was there. And I do, part of me thinks it's my grandfather. I don't know why I think that, but we lived there for so many years, over 25 years, and he lived to be 88 and he had Parkinson's. So in the end, he wasn't neurologically like there. And he loved that backyard. Like he had a pond, he did stained glass. He like bird watched. He like used to save birds back there. So I don't know. Part of me feels like that might be him. But who knows? Maybe it's not. Maybe it's something else. I have no idea. But when I told my mom that happened, she was like, oh my God, the other night, I didn't want to tell you this, but she said she was sitting on the couch and like in full like form, she saw a little blonde boy peek out from the hallway corner and look at her like inquisitively, like, what are you doing? And yeah. And she like really freaked out. But my dad and my pop-up were both blonde little boys. So that's what makes me think, like I've heard on your podcast, people deciding to be children and things like that. So I don't know what that is, but I'm like, you know, my mom like felt like it wasn't threatening, but it scared her. Like it was like a very, not like a see-through boy. Yeah. It was like a boy.
Like, what are you like doing there in my house? Get out of here, little boy.
Yeah. But my mom is doing a lot of renovation. Mm. So I know that can be a thing, right? When you renovate. And this house hadn't been renovated for so many, like over 20 something years, you know?
Well, but so, I mean, so I don't know. Back when you had your experience,
Yes.
Let's not forget about those ghosts or whoever that could have been.
I don't know.
Would you like to hear an EVP?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay. It's time for
EVPs or EV please.
Okay, so you know how yes. this works. I go to YouTube, I find alleged ghost voices, and we're going to try to figure out what it's saying. And this one, it has a lot of background noise. It's probably hard to hear over okay. Zoom, but I think it's a good one. But you'll have to tell me what you think. It was posted by Hybrid Solace Paranormal, and I don't know where it is. Like, let me see here. I think it's in the UK,
ooh.
Bristol, I believe. There's a little bit of an explanation that I can give you after we figure out what it's saying.
Okay.
But, okay, what do you think this says? Okay.
Oh, my God. I have no idea.
I know. Damn it. Okay.
Wait, is the loud noise the ghost?
No, the loud
the
noise is
background?
Not the ghost. There's, like, someone.
Okay, I could hear the
yeah,
background.
There's, like, someone in okay. the distance saying something over the loud noise. Okay, so we have to tune in. Yeah. Here we go.
My God, it sounds like it's saying a lot.
I know, it's like a sentence.
Which it sounds like a woman.
Usually we get like a word or two, but this one is like
yeah.
telling us a full story.
It sounds like gossip.
Right? Did you hear what does. She just said?
Yeah, it's, I can't make it out, but it really sounds like a woman like talking on the phone.
Right. Okay, let me play it yeah. one more time.
Okay.
It's like, na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, I really can't make out the words.
Okay, well, here's some options. One of these is what okay. Hybrid Solace Paranormal believes it says. Is it A, I would rather be sleeping? Is it B, mm. our road leads here too? Is it C, I don't think you do? Or D, what are you up to, sweet cheeks? Okay. Let me play it again.
I don't know why I feel like it might be the first one. I don't know why I think that.
I would okay. rather be sleeping.
Yeah.
Well, here, let's listen to it again.
Okay.
I would rather
I
be
feel
sleeping.
Like that's what it says. I know. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe it's because I think I hear that. But
okay. They believe it says yeah. our road leads there too.
I mean, that's more like ominous.
Okay. Let me play that again.
Okay, yeah, now I hear too. It. Yeah, now I hear it.
It makes more sense when
yeah,
you...
Yeah, it makes more context.
Yeah, with the yeah. context, which I know that kind of sounds unfair, but it's to make someone listen to that without knowing the context.
But, yes, but
it
okay.
also adds to the, I don't know, the mystery. Legitimacy of what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so they wrote, before this recording, I was talking about two places in Bristol called Feeder Road and Arnos Vale Road. And is this lady giving us a clue to the road where she
yeah, used she's
to
like,
live,
our
perhaps?
Road, our road leads there too. Ooh, very creepy.
That might be what she's saying.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wow.
Well, Rachel, I guess that's about it for this time.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was so great to talk to you.
It was wonderful talking to you. We'll have to do it again sometime. So
yes.
Let me know next time something happens.
For sure.
Caroline in Canada. How are you?
Hi, Roz. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you.
I am too. Okay, so we got some stories here. I hear you got yeah. some that your mom told you that are secondhand stories, which I love. Let's hear it.
Okay. So these stories are from my mom, who works at an objectively haunted hospital in our hometown of Kitchener, Ontario, in Canada. So there have been many people over the years trying to investigate this hospital, and the hospital is super fast to shut it down, understandably so. Like, they don't want to draw any scrutiny and an actively running hospital. That's probably not good for PR and fundraising, if you know what I mean. So
yeah, and also it's like people don't want to not go to the hospital if you need yeah, to go to yeah. a hospital.
It's understandable, but it's just a place where everyone's got a story. So it's not surprising at all to have paranormal normal activity in a hospital where the general patient demographic is pretty elderly. It's a long-term care hospital. But the fact that there is one ghost dominating the whole hospital is what makes this all extra spooky.
Whoa.
Yeah. So to start, there is kind of an old portion of this big hospital. It was built in 1916 as a tuberculosis sanatorium. And the true story is that a young nurse named Francine, sometime around that era, she accidentally gave a little boy in the hospital an incorrect medication or incorrect dose of her medication. And the little boy tragically died. And nurse Francine later died by suicide in the nurse's residence, which is now a maintenance like outbuilding on the property. So to start the big list of stories, this ghost of nurse Francine was seen several years ago in this residence turned maintenance building. A staff member saw her from outside looking through the window, and she was washing her hair in the sink. And he rushed off to go get help. And when they all came back as a group, there was no sign of anyone having been in that building at all.
Oh, I have never heard a story of a ghost washing her hair in the sink. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, she was very comfortable in there, I guess. Yeah, so my mom has been working at this hospital since 1989. And over the years, she has heard countless stories from people from all levels, from patients, nursing staff, doctors, administrators, people who had no way of knowing all of this folklore backstory. They've reported seeing a woman in an old-fashioned nurse's uniform and a little boy in like the old-timey dungarees overalls outfit walking around the hospital and getting into mischief. So the rumor is that when patients see nurse Francine, and especially this little boy, they frequently pass away soon after. There have been stories of patients... Yeah, there have been stories of patients asking nursing staff to, like, tell this little boy in my room to get out of my room and stop bugging me. Or recently, a few months ago, a patient was told by their nurse to sit down on their hospital bed. And the patient was like, I can't sit on this bed. Like, don't you see this nurse lady sitting up on this bed, taking up all the space? And there was nobody there.
Oh, my God. So, do people ever see them together or just separate?
I think often separate. The little boy frequently around the patients who are mostly elderly in this hospital. And I think Francine is more seen by like the staff kind of in the non-patient parts of the hospital, if that makes sense. Wow. So this nurse Francine has been seen walking around the hospital's like outdoor courtyard. And it sounds like the majority of these stories kind of happen when people are just busy going about their day, doing their hospital jobs, and something seemingly innocent kind of happens. And then in retrospect, you stop and realize that, hey, something was really off there. You don't think of seeing someone just sitting peacefully on a courtyard bench until you kind of realize after that, like, okay, their clothing was way off for the time period. Like, something's not making sense here.
Does she wear like one of those little hats?
I hope so. That'd be awesome. Definitely the white dress for sure. Another story was a few years ago. There was a story of a nurse. She was taking a photo at a work party. She was holding up her birthday cake in her nurse's, like, modern nurse's uniform scrubs. And in the photo that's been kind of circulated around, my mom showed me, they noticed there is a very small, like, childlike hand reaching up to grab the cake. And it looks just as clear as the lady's own hands herself. I know. Yeah. There have been, like, dozens of stories. But the one that completely gives me chills is a few years ago, one of my mom's coworkers was walking in a stairwell alone during the middle of the day, one of those like industrial metal concrete stairwells. She passed a nurse going the opposite direction, carrying a big box of bandages. And you know, when you're busy going through the workday, you just kind of say a polite hi in passing and you don't really notice the other person, you're just kind of moving on. Uh-huh. So after my mom's coworker stopped to think about it, she realized the lady walking in the stairs was wearing the old white dress uniform that nobody would wear anymore. And that her response to whatever she said, hi, good morning, whatever, was like a low groaning kind of sound and not a hello back. She didn't really notice at the time. And after thinking about it, was like, ooh. So Francine is, she's a very bold ghost. She's not afraid to be seen, which makes it even creepier. There have been several like technological kind of base stories, such as patient machines all malfunctioning and alarms going off at the same time. The sounds of like chimes going off at midnight in the administrative office area floor, but nobody could find a source for the sound. One of my mom's coworkers a few years ago, she was getting calls at home in the middle of the night from her own desk phone. And it's so an old kind of office phone that only she ever used, with an old phone with no way to accidentally call someone, let alone the exact personal number of the person that uses the phone on a daily basis. Another story was a year or two ago, one unit had to call an ambulance for the patient. So this hospital doesn't have an emergency department. So if something really dire happens, they call the ambulance to go to the big hospital in town. So the paramedics took away this patient. I unfortunately don't know what happened to them, but a week later, at the exact same minute, exactly a week later, the paramedics showed up and everyone was kind of like, oh, what's going on? We didn't call 911. And the paramedics said that they received a call at the exact same time for the exact same situation. And nobody has any explanation of where that call may have come from. I don't know why my mom still works there, but it's only a matter of time before she probably has a direct encounter herself. There are so many more stories. Everyone who works there seemingly has a story. So I'm thankful that my mom can always pass them on to me.
Yeah, well, with like a hospital, it's there could be so many other energies lingering around. So, I mean, it's pretty incredible that there's those two, but who knows? There might be more.
And she's just kind of considered, she's like everyone's coworker. It's just everyone's got a Francine story. And so now it's just when anything happens, you're right, it's just automatically attributed to her. Somebody hears a patient feels that their window is open and the curtains are blowing around. Someone comes in, they're not there. They're like, oh, that must be Francine again, that she's just up to, up to no good, or that little boy's up to no good around here. And I think that the little boy seems to be more of just like a little mischievous kind of little boy, busy energy. Whereas Francine does seem to be a little bit more of a negative presence. People feel the presence of somebody kind of watching them from behind, or she doesn't seem like maybe the friendliest one to have around.
Yeah, with her low grown voice.
Yeah, no, that. Not
but hey,
there.
She's got clean hair. She's got that.
Oh, for sure.
Canteen Pro V. wait, I want to hear about this girls' trip that you were telling me about.
Okay, so just sorry, I've never been any kind of like sensitive with any paranormal abilities myself or anything. Just like a healthy fear and respect for the ghost world. Like, you know, like I would never look in a mirror at night, if you know what I mean. So my sister, who kind of features in this story, is a total skeptic, and she just kind of rolls her eyes at any fears I've had in the past. And this is ultimately really a story of my family ignoring maybe some subtle signs from the other side, but then getting like a real wake up call to get our attention. So this story happened to my family in 2017 at a resort just north of Toronto. And it's my favorite place on earth. It's my happy place. And it's been a tradition to visit this resort every summer since I was a little kid. My grandmother, my mom's mom, who we all call Granny, she started this annual trip with all of the women in our family, my mom, my aunts, my sister, and now our kids are part of the group. So our family had this big hotel room in this big block of the resort. And it was really special to our family because we were the first family to use this room kind of experimentally as a hotel room. It was used as part of a big banquet room or meeting room before us. And it's the size of two really big hotel rooms put together. It's a big open room with like a little partition down the middle, maybe a 6 foot tall partition separating the bedroom side and the other living room side with like a sofa bed TV. So the important part of the story is that my grandma used the sofa bed on the living room side. She was like a night owl who was always cleaning up after us and after we went to bed. And we were used to hearing her shuffling around newspapers, magazines, cleaning up our stuff. And my granny was the only one who ever slept on that side of the room. And since she passed away in 2012, nobody else used that side of the room at night. And then another like really weird note about my grandma is that we used to always tease her, you know, about, you know, old lady hair, old lady fashion, things like that. And her line was always, well, I can't wait to come back someday and look down at all of you and see how how cool you are as old ladies, you know. So the afterlife was just always a topic that's very loosely joked about with us. So in 2017, we were there for a full week. And I was in the room with my sister and two of her kids. And my mom and my aunt were across the hall in like a regular size hotel room. And then throughout the week, my sister and I, we just experienced some weird, inexplicable things. Like the digital clock between the beds occasionally just started stopping on its own, no explanation. And after going to bed every night, I was hearing the sounds of papers shuffling on the coffee table on the other side of the room. Nothing was being like affected by the AC blowing, no explanation. And then I was also experiencing hearing the sound of like shuffling footsteps on the carpet that sounded like they were starting on the living room side and were coming around the partition and stopping right at the side of my bed. And it just kept repeating over and over. We tried to like debunk it. We couldn't find any source, not the air conditioner unit, people upstairs, nothing. So we were a little creeped out. So do you ever have like that feeling, Roz, where like if something creepy, paranormal, explained happens, it's sometimes just easier to like joke about it than actually acknowledge like how freaked out you truly are.
I mean, yeah.
You're just trying to anything. Yeah. So we all just joked about that, like, oh, when my grandma went to heaven, like obviously this is a place where she would spend her afterlife, you know, living it up in a 5-star resort is where I'd want to go for sure. So nothing up to this point was like super dramatic, no like loud sound thing getting thrown around, nothing getting thrown around, but it just sounded like someone was just kind of casually living their life on the living room side of this hotel room, like as if my granny was just there taking care of us at night, like she always did. So midway through our week there, my sister Sarah, she went to the spa on the resort, and a woman working there who did not know us at all, had no way of knowing anything, she asked Sarah if she was open to hearing about messages from the other side. And I can picture my sister internally rolling her eyes, but being polite to a fault, she was probably just being nice and was like, yeah, sure, open, interested, sure. So the lady asked Sarah if she had recently lost a grandmotherly figure in her life. And our grandma on our dad's side of the family had recently passed away. So she mentioned her, and the lady was like, no, no, that's not it. And after some back and forth, the lady determined that our granny spirit was following my sister around the resort, a little creepy. And apparently my granny communicated a message to this lady who, again, knew nothing about us, had never known that we had been there before or whatever. My granny had told her that she was so happy to see that we continued to come back to the resort after her passing, and that she was just happily following us around, watching us enjoy our vacation. I think the lady even figured out that her name started with an R and her name was Rita. So now, like, if this were me, I would have totally lost it. And I would have asked this medium lady like a million other questions. My sister was totally cool about it. And when she told us about it later, she was just kind of nonchalant, like, oh, huh, isn't that so funny? So again, like, we just kind of joked about it to avoid acknowledging that, like, yeah, something might actually be kind of up here. So I guess when we pushed away the thought a little too much, I think the universe just decided we need to like a real wake up call here. So on our final night in that room, just after going to bed around like 10:30, I started hearing a weird shuffling footstep sounds again. And I just had my face like buried in my pillow trying to ignore it. And when the footstep sound kind of stopped again, right at the side of my bed, I heard a whisper voice say something like a hey, or like a one syllable kind of thing that you just kind of do to get someone's attention. I think it was hey. And I just instantly relaxed because I was sure that it was just my sister who must have been awake and needing me for something moving around the room. And at the exact second that I turned around and realized that nobody was there, at the exact same second, I tell you, my sister did the same. We both did the same, like kind of caught in your throat, gasping scream from her bed on the other end of the room. At the same time that I heard the voice whispering to get my attention, she felt someone touching her shoulders in her bed, kind of like pushing her down almost. Yeah. And I knew it was serious because it's like my sister to get spooked by anything. And she was at a 10 out of 10, just like me. And we also noticed that exact moment was when the digital clock between our beds was flashing midnight again. So we hightailed out of that room so quickly, even carrying my sister's little one-year-old baby in his playpen crib to our mom and aunt's room across the hall. We had never been so freaked out by anything. In retrospect, like, it didn't feel malicious in any way, but just trying to get our attention. So we can't reconcile if maybe it was like our granny's way of like getting it through our thick heads to actually notice her, or maybe some other kind of entity. I don't know.
Oh, it was just granny saying hi.
Well, I hope so, but I don't want to, you know, get too into it maybe if it wasn't. But so we didn't go back in 2018 or 19 because those were the years when I got married, my daughter was born, we had too much just going on. So in 2020, when we went back, that room had been mysteriously closed for renovations, quote unquote. And last summer in 2021, it had been converted back into a meeting room after nearly 30 years of no longer being used for guests after 30 years. So, which is so weird because being the biggest room in this hotel block, it's the biggest moneymaker. So it feels a little fishy to renovate during the busiest time of year and then not even use that room for guests. But I don't know if there's any connection or if that's just my conspiracy theory.
Wait, so what do you think? Do you think that Granny is always in that room?
Well, I don't know, because then if anyone else ever noticed it, then my fear is then that maybe it wasn't my granny and there was something else then. I don't know. So we have heard other stories from guests and staff, like at the resort, with just small things like people reporting that a TV going on and off by itself, or there's a lounge bar in the main lobby area, and apparently it smells like cigar smoke at night. The old resort owner that the bar is named after was a big cigar smoker. And of course, like, smoking indoors hasn't been a thing in decades here in Ontario. So there's no explanation for that.
See,
the internet has some. Yeah, sorry.
When you say that, okay, so you heard somebody by your bed say, yeah, hey, and then your, yeah, sister felt someone. So, like, what is that? Are there two different spirits or entities or whatever? Or is it one with really long arms that reached to your sister and was
exactly
next to you?
And then that makes it feel like, it makes it feel like it maybe isn't as, you know, warm and cuddly like a granny thing, if it's something that's trying to, like, touch us at night. That, so it's really hard to reconcile. Like, do I go all in with these lovey-dovey feelings of excited, like, oh, that's so sweet, it's my granny, or is it like, oh, I experienced something that was maybe not the nicest? I don't know. It's, that kind of makes it kind of a mind bender here.
Whoa. Thank you so much to Damien, Heather, Rachel, and Caroline. If you want to hear a little bit extra, go to patreon.com/rozdresfiles. Full episode this week on there. I'm talking again about Catholic supernatural stuff. It won't be Catholic stuff every time, just the first two episodes, and then we'll figure out what next week will be. Please subscribe to the show, tell your friends, rate it 5 stars, leave a 5-star review if you like it. You could leave a ghost story there. You could leave a ghost story in the Facebook group, Ghosted by Roz Dresfiles. You could email me your listener stories at ghostedbyroz@gmail.com with the subject line listener episode. If you like me and you want to take a break from my spooky side, you could go to my Instagram at Roz Hernandez, TikTok and Twitter at It's Roz Hernandez. We'll be back next week. I love you all, both living and dead.
But if I didn't ask you to haunt me, don't haunt me. Okay, bye!
Starburns Audio, a podcast, a podcast network.